Hello, my name is Dr. Sara Rosengren. I'm a professor of marketing and retailing from the Stockholm School of Economics in Sweden. I am also one of the co-authors of Marketing 5th edition by Oxford University Press. This podcast is about chapter 14, Channels, Supply Chain and Retailing. In this chapter, we take a closer look at marketing channels and the role of intermediaries. We also explain the different roles and factors that influence the design of structure of marketing channels. We then take a closer look at supply chain management and retailing more specifically. Marketing channel is a term used to denote the chain of organizations that are concerned with creating and moving products from producers and manufacturers to end users. Each organization adds something of value before passing it to the next. And it is this interaction that provides mutual advantage and underpins the concept of channel marketing. Collectively, organizations that combine to enable offerings to reach end users quickly and efficiently constitute a marketing channel, sometimes referred to as a distribution channel. The organizations that combine do so to reduce risk and uncertainty by enhancing or exchanging offerings that are of value to each other in the channel. Therefore, marketing channels enables organizations to share or reduce uncertainty. By reducing the uncertainty experienced by all members in the channel, each is in better position to concentrate on other tasks. So how is this done? Firstly, the use of channel partners helps reduce complexity. Consider, for example, a market comprising of 5 producers and 10 end users. Without an intermediary, each producer would need to engage in 10 interactions, and each of the end users would need to have 5 interactions with the producers. If we introduce an intermediary, the complexity is reduced. Each producer now needs to have only 1 point of contact, as does each end user. Looking at the system as a whole, the number of interactions decreases from 50 to 15. Secondly, the intermediary can help reduce purchase risk. Intermediaries, rather than producers, have the skills and core competencies needed to meet end users' requirements, for example, retailers. By improving the overall value that customers perceive in an offering relative to competing products and customer experiences, it is possible to develop a competitive advantage. Thirdly, intermediaries can help with performance risk related to transaction efficiency. Standardizing or routinizing the transaction process, perhaps by regulating order sizes, automating operations, and managing delivery cycles and payment frequencies, allow distribution costs to be reduced. Consider again the reduction in complexity and standardization will provide very valuable benefits. Fourthly, by providing specialist training services, maintenance, installation, deliveries, credit facilities, etc., intermediaries can develop a service that has real value to other channel members or end users. Value can also be improved for customers by helping them to locate the offerings that they want. Intermediaries can provide these specialist resources, whereas producers are not normally interested to do so. This is, of course, because they prefer to produce large quantities of a small range of goods. Unfortunately, end users want only limited quantity and a wide variety of goods. The intermediary can thus provide utility-based benefits ranging from place, time, ownership, and information. So far, our example has only had a few actors: producer, an intermediary, and an end user. In reality, marketing channels are very complex and there are several different types of intermediaries. Before discussing channel design questions more in depth, let's have a look at some different types of intermediaries. An agent or a broker. Agents and brokers act as the intermediary between the seller of an offering and buyers, bringing them together without taking ownership of the offering. These intermediaries have a legal authority to act on behalf of the manufacturer and typically make money through commissions. For example, fish and seafood agents typically help fisheries to sell their catches to wholesalers. A merchant undertakes the same actions as an agent but takes ownership of a product. Distributors or dealers. Distributors or dealers distribute the product. They offer value through services associated with selling inventory, credit, and after-sales services. These are often used in B2B markets, and they can also be found when dealing directly with customers, for example, in the automobile sector. A franchisee. A franchisee holds a contract with a supply and market holds a contract to supply and market an offering to the requirements or blueprint of the franchisor, an owner of the original offering. The contract might cover many aspects of the design of the offering, such as marketing, product assortment, or service delivery. A wholesaler. A wholesaler stocks goods before the next level of the distribution and takes both the legal title and the physical possession of the goods. In consumer markets, wholesalers usually do not deal with the consumer, but with other intermediaries, such as retailers. In B2B markets, sales are made directly to consumers. Examples include to customers. Examples include Costco wholesalers in the United States and Makro in the Europe. Retailers. Retailers sell directly to consumers and may purchase directly from manufacturers or deal with wholesalers. This is dependent on their purchasing power and the volume purchase, which option they will choose. Leading retailers include Walmart, Marks and Spencer, Carrefour, or Zalando. Infomediaries are internet-based organizations such as Google and PriceRunner designed to provide information to channel members, including end users. Okay, so now let's come back to different marketing channel structures and their core characteristics. There are three main channel structures: direct, indirect, and multi-channel. A direct channel structure involves selling directly to end users, whereas an indirect channel structure involves using intermediaries. A multi-channel structure provides you with the opportunity to mix both. So you can think, for example, about Nike that has both its own retail arm but also sells a lot through other retailers. At the simplest level, direct channels offer maximum control but do not always reach all of the target market. Indirect channels can maximize coverage but often at the expense of control. This is, of course, because intermediaries start adapting their marketing mix and demand and share the profits in return for their involvement. Multi-channel strategies often result in greater channel conflict because intermediaries perceive the manufacturer as a competitor, not only a manufacturer. When establishing or adapting marketing channels, it's necessary to consider the type of market coverage that is required, the number of intermediaries to use, and how the relationships between the channel's members are to be managed. These choices are important because they can affect the value that is ultimately provided to your customer. Okay, now let's turn our attention to supply chain management. Supply chain management focuses on the actual movement of parts, supplies, and products all the way from the raw materials to the finished goods. Integrated supply chain management refers to the business process associated with the movement of parts, raw materials, work in progress, and finished goods. Unlike marketing channels, which are concerned with the management of customer behavior, finished goods, and inter-organizational relationship, the goal of supply chain management is to improve efficiency and effectiveness with regards to the physical movement of products. Supply chain management is essentially about the management of all the business activities necessary to get the right product in the right place for the right customer to access in a timely and convenient manner. Supply chain management comprises four main activities: fulfillment, transportation, stock management, and warehousing. But perhaps it's more interesting to focus on the key goals of supply chain management. These deal with four dimensions: waste reduction. By reducing the level of duplicated and excess stock in the chain, it becomes possible to make operations between organizations achieve new levels of uniformity and standardization. Time compressing is about reducing the order to delivery cycling time, which improve efficiency and customer service outputs. Flexibility or flexible response: by managing the order processing elements such as size, time, and configuration handling to specific customer requirements, you can meet them without inconvenience and you can have higher efficiency and service delivery. and unit cost reduction by understanding the level of service output that is required by the end user. It becomes possible to minimize the cost involved in delivering to that required standard. With increasing scarcity of resources, companies have started to employ more circular supply chain designs that will close the loop between production and consumption. By moving discussion of waste reduction upstream in the supply chain, new approaches can be found. Still, most companies are embedded in linear supply chains, which is difficult and expensive to transform. Lack of suitable business partners who can offer circular supply chains is one of the several reasons why the shift from linear to circular is not always easy. And you can read more about this in the Market Insight on Philippa Kay. Okay, so let's look a little bit at retailing. Retailing encompasses all the activities directly related to the sales of products and services to consumers for their personal use. Retailers differ from wholesalers who distribute products to businesses, not consumers. So the core of retailing is the end user and consumer relationship, or as the consumer is the core customer. Retailers provide consumers with access to products. As such, it's very important to find out what consumers actually want from a retailer if they are to deliver value around those products. Retailers provide consumers with access to product and help reduce the uncertainty experienced by other intermediaries in the channels, such as wholesalers and manufacturers, as we described previously. This is achieved by taking small quantities of stock on a regular basis, promoting cash flows, and providing demand for their products or services. The different types of retailing establishment can be classified according to two key characteristics. One deals with the marketing strategy that the retailer has, and three types are focusing either on product, either on price value, or on service. And the other has to do with the store presence, and here you typically see a divide in between physical store or non-store retailing, mainly e-commerce. Okay, that is it for now. Thank you for listening. Bye.